This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Well, congratulations to Alabama. They beat Notre Dame last night, 42-14. Let me tell you how bad it was. Today, the Pope suggested Notre Dame might want to be a Lutheran college.
Ray, you told us last night that you believe that you guys could break the Broncos' 11-game winning streak. What allowed you to believe you could do so?
God is amazing. And when you believe in him, man believes in the possible, God believes in the impossible.
I deeply repent, and I'm heartily sorry. Bah! I repent in a half-assed way at best.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
All labels, if you want to call them labels, eventually fail. You can't hang on to it forever. If you're thinking of it in terms of branding, a denominational label is a fluid thing. And over the course of 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, the definition tends to shift around. Now, part of the struggle to remain faithful to the confession that is supposed to be represented by that label is to constantly try to recapture that term. But they're slipping through our fingers even as we use them. Terms like Lutheran has slipped through the fingers, sad to say. It's still used, but it always has to have that mental asterisk next to it, such as, I'm a Lutheran, speaking here for myself, but I don't mean Lutheran World Federation. I certainly do not mean the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America or any of the kind. I mean a different kind, an older kind perhaps, a more original kind. But how do you explain that in one word? Other terms that have slipped through our fingers, we still try to recapture them. Evangelical? Catholic? Do they still apply to Lutheran theology and to Lutherans? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. David Scare joins us for the first few minutes of the program on this Thursday afternoon. We're going to be spending some time talking about the evangelical and the Catholic principle in Lutheran theology. Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us after that. We will remember the wife of Old Testament patriarch Abraham. She's remembered on the 20th, this coming weekend. And Sarah is one that she deserves consideration. She's a major figure along with Abraham in the Old Testament. Dr. Scott Murray will be our guest in the second hour of the program. We'll talk about salvation and man's sinful condition. He's written recently about Luther's insight that you can kind of work your way back from the cost of salvation to the condition of man's sinfulness. And we'll walk that path with him and with Martin Luther a little bit later. Then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Kevin Voss will join us. We'll talk about creation and the complexity of life. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. David Scare is a regular guest. He's professor of systematic theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article in the latest Logia Journal titled Lutheranism as Catholic and Evangelical. Dr. Scare, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Let's kind of get the baseline relationships here. How is Lutheran theology, Lutheranism, both evangelical and Catholic?
Well, let's take up exactly the dilemma that we're facing, which you gave in the introduction, in that such words as Lutheran, Catholic, and evangelical, have their meanings are dependent upon the situation. There's not one set meaning. And the word evangelical is derived as a derivative from a Greek word meaning the gospel. And within our time frame of reference, it was first used of those who held to Luther's Reformation. They were called the evangelicals. They were only called Lutherans later. And the name was given to them because of their commitment to the Scriptures. Now, the word has a much different and wider meaning. In the older Lutheran churches, the word evangelical was always contained. So it was Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church. And today the term evangelical is rarely, if ever, used in the name of a congregation that is being established. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a church that was called Faith Evangelical Lutheran Church. And today, if you see the term evangelical in a newspaper, or if you I have in front of me an article called The Evangelical Voter, that means something which is entirely different. That the evangelicals, which are both a political and a religious bloc today in the United States, the term is just used like this in the United States, well, maybe in South America too, of people who have had a conversion experience, look upon the Bible as giving rules for all sorts of things in life, generally are not committed to any type of liturgical worship, and understand the kingdom of God as something political to bring about a change in society. That's how I would interpret evangelical as is commonly used today.
What about Catholic?
Well, Catholic, you know, it's a strange thing because at least under the last pope, John Paul, the Catholics were seen there. They see themselves as an exclusive religion, and under John Paul, that was beginning to loosen up. I'm not so sure under the present Pope, Benedict XVI. And that is, Catholics were willing to refer to the Pope as the Bishop of Rome, not simply as the Bishop of the Bishop of the Catholic Church. And so this presents even a different kind of a problem. What makes it difficult in a Lutheran context is we're the only Protestant denomination that does not use the word Catholic in the creeds. So if you go into an Episcopal church, they will say, and we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. You go, and they do that in the Apostles' Creed too. You go into a Lutheran church, and it will be, I believe in one holy Christian and Apostolic Church. Luther changed the word Catholic is the original word in the creed. The way the, at least from the time the creed was adopted in 325 down to the 1500s, the Lutherans used the entire church used the word Catholic, and the Lutherans are the only church that speaks of the Christian church. Now, really, the meaning is the same. Now, problematic is, with the people, and I mean like everybody, if you say, I'm a Catholic, or you're a Catholic, or my son married a Catholic, that means that they are Roman Catholic. Catholic has a different meaning than evangelical. Evangelical, in its best possible sense, refers to that the church is built upon the scriptures, particularly upon the gospel that has been revealed in Jesus Christ. Catholic adds an historical dimension, a different dimension. It means that the faith of the church has remained the same, or the faith of our particular church is the same as it was in the 16th century, the 12th century, the 3rd century, going back to apostolic times. And that concept is kind of difficult and somewhat strange to the American mindset. The American mindset is more evangelical in the sense that I can go to the Bible and I can find out what it means, and that's what I believe. Catholic means that the faith that I confess has been confessed for many generations before me. In fact, it's been confessed for nearly 21 centuries. The Lutherans like to understand themselves as both Catholic and evangelical, but then so do other churches.
with about 2 minutes here, get us started at least on a response, and that is, you say that, and you call it the Catholic principle, is at work already at the very beginning of the Reformation in the writings of Philip Melanchthon, the Augsburg Confession, that kind of basic exposition of Lutheran theology, its nascent form. What's the Catholic principle there?
And then we'll talk about Melanchthon. The Catholic principle is, in the Lutheran confessions, beginning with the Augsburg Confession, the Apology, is that the Lutherans demonstrated their position by referencing the early church fathers, Ambrose, Augustine, Irenaeus. They wanted to show that what they believed was always believed by the church. And there's an ecumenical dimension in the word Catholic, because it recognizes that there are many churches that hold, or at least they attempt to hold, to the Catholic principle. And that is that they are not inventing something which nobody else has invented. Now, to the Protestant mind in America, that's a very strange phenomenon. Not so to the Catholic, the Roman Catholic mind. And the Eastern Orthodox Church, they call themselves Catholic, which means that they possess an ancient faith. That's what it means. And there's something I think there. It establishes this idea that, so far as I am concerned as a believer, I'm not alone. Horizontally, I'm with other people in the church on a Sunday who believe like I do. And then it also adds the generational concept that what I believe was believed one generation before me and a long time before I even came along.
Let's take a break right there, Dr. Scare. When we come back, we'll pick up right where we are leaving off with him. Dr. David Scare joins us on this Thursday afternoon, January the 17th. We're talking about the evangelical and Catholic principle in Lutheran theology. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Life, a service of word and music, is scheduled for Sunday, January 20th, 3 p.m. at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The joint choirs of Village Lutheran Ladue and Reformation Lutheran Afton will join with soloists and congregational singing and a sermon by the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison in Extolling Life. The offering will benefit Lutherans for Life and Vitae Foundation, who will speak at a reception following the service. Join us for Life, a service of word and music.
Hi, this is Jonathan Collin from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
The the Epiphany hymn, Brightest and Best of the Sons of the Morning, sung by the Festival Choir and Hosanna Chorus, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world, and during the appropriate seasons of the church year, you will hear that season's emphasis. This season, Epiphany. That's why you're hearing more Epiphany music at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's 24-7, 365 days a year, absolutely free, and you can listen anytime. LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world. Dr. David Scare is our guest. We're talking about the evangelical principle and the Catholic principle in Lutheran theology. You were mentioning as we went into the break that Philip Melanchthon, when he's crafting the Augsburg Confession and the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, those basic Lutheran confessions of the 16th century, sometimes doesn't cite Scripture. He cites church fathers. He cites the Creed. He cites other sources of authority. Why can he do that, Dr. Scare?
Well, he does this for this one reason, that the Reformation understood itself as a continuation of the church. It wasn't as if Luther, when he put up the 95 Theses on the church wall, went out and called it St. Mary's Lutheran Church. It was the same church, and they and it was the same. The liturgy was slightly revised, but it's amazingly how similar the Lutheran liturgy was to what the church had always done. And they weren't arguing a principle. They were not creating religion out of absolutely nothing. They were maintaining the faith that the church always had. They were not giving us a new faith. They were giving the faith which the church had already have. And on that account, I think it's important for pastors and lay people to become acquainted with the early church fathers. And when one reads them, the first in response is, "That's exactly what I believe." And it gives an entirely different dimension to our faith. If you want to see the Catholic principle at work, go to the hymnal. Many of our hymns, especially the ones dealing with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they come from the very early centuries of the Church. And in a sense, the Catholic and the Lutheran principle, the Catholic and the evangelical principles, are not all that different. Because when Paul wants to establish something, he establishes it by saying this is something which all the churches do. In regard to the words of the Lord's Supper, he uses the Catholic principle. He says, "What I delivered to you, what was delivered to me, I also delivered to you." That on the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread. He doesn't say that he got this by direct revelation. He doesn't say that he read about it in the Bible. He says this was handed down to him by tradition. And tradition is what keeps the church together. Every church has a particular or peculiar type of tradition by which it identifies itself, whether it's the Lutheran Church or the Episcopal Church. The Lutheran Church recognizes itself that most of our congregations, too bad it isn't all of our congregations, use one liturgical form. And then within that, every congregation establishes its own Catholic principle, so to speak. And so the congregation is perpetuated over the years. It's the people change. I mean, in 20 years, a pastor is going to have virtually a new congregation, but the church remains the same. That's what we mean by the Catholic principle. And the word Catholic comes from the Greek words, a word meaning according to the whole. Kata means according, and ole means the whole. So they put those words together. You get katholes, according to the whole. And the equivalent in the New Testament is the word ecumene, that the church is ecumenical. It's spread throughout the world, and that's also a comfort and strengthens faith to know that I'm not the only one who believes this Christian doctrine.
You say in your article that while a common liturgy which is still, by and large, in Christendom, if you look at the whole thing, East-West Church, there's still a remarkable Catholicity in the liturgy there. But it's, you say it's not an infallible signal of Catholicity. What do you mean by that?
Well, what happens, a church can have, there's certain signs that indicate Catholicity. One is the liturgy. Two, it's the vestments which the pastor wears. Three, it's the place where the people come together. That all of the paintings, the icons, the statues, that is all part of the church's Catholicity. But then you run into this particular problem. The preacher can say things which are not Catholic. Now, one of the things which is destructive of the Catholicity of the church, or contradictory to the Catholicity of the church, is, for example, having women preachers. And that is, the church has never known of women preachers. Now, that's extremely common in the Protestant churches of the United States, including the largest Lutheran church in America, the Evangelical Lutheran Church. The number of women pastors is increasing at an astounding rate, that pretty soon male preachers will be in the minority. Well, the point is this, that the church has only known men as pastors and clergy, only has known men. And so by changing this, you destroy the Catholicity of the church. So you could have a full-blown liturgy. You could have hymns. And yet the presence of female clergy would contradict the Catholicity of the church. But what happens there, and it has already happened in the churches that do have clergy, women clergy, and that would be both the Protestant Episcopal Church and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, what you're having is that the liturgy itself becomes feminized so that God is addressed, not only as Father, but as Mother, and Jesus is not addressed as the Son of God, but the Child of God. And you remove the masculinity references to God, and that does challenge the Catholicity of the Church. Because when the liturgy is changed in that way, see, somewhere along the line, it compromises its own claim to be Christian.
So in the end, Dr. Scare, do you think we can recapture these terms, evangelical and Catholic, in their best sense, we as Lutherans, and understand ourselves in terms of both of those principles? About a minute and a half or so.
Okay, well, this is the situation, and that is, I think it's a good idea to make the point that we want to be, and we are, evangelical, that we derive our what we teach from the Scriptures. And not only do we have to say that we derive our teachings from the Scriptures, but we actually have to do it. There's one thing to say that you're doing. There's another thing to do it. The next thing is that in the American context, Catholicity, in the American Protestant context, Catholicity is a foreign idea, because we're extremely individualistic in religious things, that I will come to my own conclusions, especially for people who think that they can have a direct contact with the Holy Spirit. Now, I think you can make that point with the people, but there is a drawback, and that is that these terms have been so defined in the popular mind, and particularly in the press, it'll be very difficult to change the common perception. When we say that the evangelical vote, we're speaking about people who voted for Jimmy Carter, and their leader for years has been Billy Graham, and they are a wonderful and wide educational force, academic force, publishing force in the United States. They have television programs. They have a wide audience. They have a large audience. I don't know if you can make a point of your whole life saying that we're the true evangelicals and they're not. And the same problem is with the Catholics. And that is, if you say that oh, my son got married in the Catholic Church. Maybe you want to make the point that it was the Roman Catholic Church, but in the common conversation, Catholic is going to mean the Roman Catholic Church. In a sense, that's too bad, because what we do by conceding that they're the only Catholics, we then become a sect. We become a denomination, and we give the impression that they're the true church. So this is really a challenge. I don't know how we can completely overcome it. I'm not so sure that we will.
Dr. David Scare is professor of systematic theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article in the latest Logia Journal titled Lutheranism as Catholic and Evangelical. Dr. Scare, thanks for being our guest.
And it's my pleasure to be with you, Todd. Thank you very much.
You know, when faced with this dilemma of, as I said at the beginning, these terms slipping through our fingers, that doesn't mean that who we are changes. It doesn't mean that we allow ourselves, along with our terms, to be redefined by however the culture might think of it. There's a core. I have of late have been thinking of it as a confessional core, an objective truth that anchors who we are in this world as confessional Christians. For Lutherans, it's the Book of Concord. I recently heard Pastor Matt Harrison, the president of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, very wisely say, we're Book of Concord Lutherans, and we're not ashamed of it. And I think that's a very good concrete way of thinking about this. So how do we recapture those terms, evangelical in the best sense, or Catholic in the best sense? We go back to those concrete forms, rooted there not only in history, but also in the Word of God, these confessions, and we say, look, this is what we mean. Is that an easy lesson to teach? No. Is it an easy lesson to learn? Absolutely not. But if we're going to remain who we are, who we have been made by this confession that stands, whether we believe it or confess it or not, it's the only route we can go. Continue, as the church always has, to confess the truth and thus remain evangelical and Catholic. When we come back, we're going to talk about Sarah, the wife of Old Testament patriarch Abraham. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.